Now let us concentrate on this point a little more. What does it mean? We find that a human being is born, grows, develops, gathers a good deal of experience, develops one kind of personality, another kind of personality, develops one capacity, another capacity, and one fine day he simply stops developing and there is death. And then we begin to wonder that if this was the end of the whole thing, then what was the point of taking birth, of developing, of our capacities being developed, personality being developed? And what then happens to all this after death? If this is the ultimate thing that happens ultimately, then all this seems to be in vain, having no meaning, no purpose at all. And some people might even derive a conclusion out of it that the best thing in the world is to commit suicide. Because the world is so troublesome, so painful, you develop your personality, you struggle so much, and ultimately death is the only ultimate consequence of all that, in which everything will be finished. But if you really understand the meaning of avidya, the purpose for which avidya is there, the purpose why desire is there, purpose why incapacity is there, purpose why death is there, you will find that the process of death is a very conscious process. Even though it might seem as though death occurs accidentally, by chance, just as we say that birth also takes place by chance. In ignorance, we can only think of chance because this is all happens or haphazard in a random manner. But when we begin to understand the deeper layers of life, when we begin to enlarge the field of ignorance, from exclusive concentration of consciousness, we begin to develop multiple levels of consciousness, then we begin to see that the world has a design and that the growth and development of man occurs by design. You can design your growth, you can design your personality, you can change your personality, you can grow out of incapacity towards capacity, you can even will your death at a particular moment, and utilize death as an instrument of further expansion. This is the meaning of what is called mrityum tirtva. You understand death, you even design your own death, as it were. You utilize the death as an instrument of further expansion. Every human being, at a certain point of development, reaches a kind of climax of development in the given field in which he is located. And he still wants to move forward, but the circumstances are so circumscribed, so limited, that he can move forward only by two methods. If somehow the circumstances are greatly changed, and that can happen sometimes, it does happen, so that the further development takes place, or else death occurs as a result of which you are lifted out of the limitation of the circumstances in which you are placed, and then you are reborn in another place where there are other circumstances where further development can take place. Now, this understanding comes about by understanding the movement of avidya. You understand the meaning of death, that death is a process by which circumstances in which we are circumscribed today are enlarged by a radical operation, you might say. And we are lifted out into another circumstance in which our development can take place. But mere enlargement of circumstances is not enough. You can go on developing your personality to great extent, but a point is reached when you discover that there is an inexhaustible source of development. There is somewhere a source such that if you can reach that source, that having reached there, your development can be indefinite. The present method of struggle of development can be replaced by a smooth transition of development in which one stage is followed by another and by a third and by a fourth. So you reach to that source. Now that source consists of two elements, has two poises. It is immobile in character and mobile in character at once. That is why Upanishad in the very beginning had told us, tad ejati tad na ejati. It moves not. This is the knowledge which has been given already in the earlier part of the Upanishad. So if you develop in this method, by a double method, then you arrive at a source which is at once immobile and mobile. If you follow avidya and vidya together, double method, then you arrive at this double realization. When you arrive at that realization, that is what Upanishad regards as the condition of immortality. To arrive at a condition not only of immobility, but immobility from where constant dynamism becomes possible, so that even in life movement you remain immobile, not only by coming out of life movement you become immobile, but even in life movement you remain immobile, then you enjoy immortality. Therefore the word used is amritam ashnute. Ashnute means enjoyment. You enjoy immortality. So the goal that is put forward in the Upanishad is the enjoyment of immortality. If you simply enter into immortality, immobility, it is, of course, you are liberated from ego and desire. But you don't enjoy this immortality even when the life movement is constantly moving out. Now, this being the goal is that every individual is ultimately destined to lead up to an integral realization, integral concentration of consciousness, in which immobility and mobility are at once realized together, and there is a secret of constant development is realized, that being the destiny, there is a law imposed in this world that until you reach this integral realization, you are obliged to be born, obliged to die. There is a law of birth and death. No human being can escape this law. Whether you like it or not, this is the, you might say that before this creation started, the divine had consulted each one of us. Look, this is the game that I want to play in this world. And we all had agreed that we are prepared to enter into this game. Because of this agreement, we will not come out of this until we reach back to this realization. That is why we are obliged to take birth, we are obliged to pass through death and take birth again and again go to the death again. This cycle goes on. So this is the ultimate goal that we have to reach. And this is the goal that is prescribed. This is the goal that is prescribed by the Upanishad. But as I told you, there is always a possibility of being misled, where we can be told that there's a shortcut, that just you withdraw from all this movement and you can enter into immobility. And this has happened in India. This message of shortcut has appealed very much, and it always appeals. The human mind, which is troubled in this net, wants to come out of it as soon as possible. And if somebody can give you the remedy of a shortcut, it will be very much appreciated. And this is what has happened. But Upanishad gives a warning against it, that although it is possible for you to do it, it's not possible. You can come out of this net, you can enter into immobility, you can be liberated, fine. But that is not the goal for which you had come and consented to come in this world. You had come into this world with a specific purpose. And if you really want to fulfill it, then this is the path. Avidyaya mrityum tirtva. You pursue the avidya, enlarge your field of consciousness, develop your body, life and mind on the one hand, discover the source in which there is inexhaustible possibility of development, realize the real meaning of death, realize that death is not a negation of life but a process of life. With that wisdom, you arrive at integrality of perfection. It is then that this world will find its meaning, otherwise it will seem to be meaningless, a mechanical process, a kind of a monstrous machine in which you have been thrown pell-mell, and some God is looking at us and enjoying our pain and suffering. This will be the consequence if this integrality of vision is not accepted, is not seen. That is why in the next three verses, Upanishad speaks of the birth and non-birth. If you look at the three verses, which comes after Vidya and Avidya, 12, 13 and 14,